There's joy beyond measure. Nathan, you ready?
Where are you, fellow? Lord Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord God, thanking you for a new day that you've given us, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for a building to gather in, Lord God, a free country to be in, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask that you look over all the prayer requests, Lord God, and move in only the way that you can move, Lord God. And now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you take this offering to the good of your kingdom, Lord God, and use it for what you would have it used for,
thank
Lord
you,
God.
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Glad to have our friends Dewey and Angie and their children.
Amen.
I got thinking just a little bit ago, we've been friends with them over 20 years now.
Amen, that's awesome.
I don't know how that's possible, being as young as all of us.
Right.
Dewey wants to testify for the Lord today, brother.
Yeah. All I've got to say is thank the Lord for what he's done.
Amen.
Brother Orr said we've known him for a long time, we go back a long way.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for what he's done and what he's going to do.
Amen.
You know, he saved me a long time ago, and that's the best thing that ever happened.
Yes.
Best thing that ever happened. Been through a lot, been through cancer, devil tried to shut my mouth, but it didn't work. I'm still carrying on for that name of Jesus.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep on keeping on. Woo! Ain't no matter what comes in, people, what matters, what
yes.
And his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Woo! He's only one way, man.
Come on.
And he's following Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
God is the one, hey.
Woo!
He comes down.
Come on.
And he took his savior. So we ought to give him some praise.
Oh.
Thank you, God. You are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Yes.
Oh.
Huh? Amen. That's right.
Shut the door on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. Praise the Lord.
We serve God to walk through walls to get where he wants to
come
go.
On.
Amen. I remember reading that somewhere.
Yeah.
Disciples sitting around all scared, knees knocking, not knowing what to do, and Jesus just walked right through the wall. Just appeared right where he was.
Amen.
Mm. Whew, I feel good.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I feel a river in here.
Mm. Come on, brother.
Feel a river in here. Mm.
Jesus.
I got something very serious to talk about today. I know it's a shock. Usually I'm so lighthearted. I'd like you, don't stand, because we're going to be digging. I'd like you to turn to the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. I got to get a song out of me, though. I don't want to be distracted.
Bless the whole service.
We don't need me distracted. It's going to rain.
Oh, yes.
It's going to rain. Better get ready, have this in mind. God gave Noah a rainbow sign. It won't be water, but fire next time. Way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. They didn't listen or pay him no mind, and when it happened, they was left behind. It's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. You better get ready and have this in mind. God gave Noah a rainbow sign. It won't be water, but fire next time. They tell me when the water began to flow, the They knocked on the window. They knocked on the door. They didn't know just what to do. Well, you don't want this to happen to you. It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God gave Noah a rainbow sign. It won't be water, but fire next time. Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God's got the key, and you can't come in. If something don't happen to the heart of man, the same thing gonna happen again. It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God gave Noah a rainbow sign. It won't be water, but fire next time. Won't be water, but fire next time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah
to your name.
Yes, Jesus. Go ahead, don't be nervous. You had the interpretation. Don't be nervous next time. You're in a place where you can step out and let God use you.
Amen.
Jesus. You know, what do you do when you go to church and Jesus shows up? Do whatever he wants you to do. Huh? You don't have to jump through all them hoops, man. God can heal before the offering.
Amen.
What?
That's right.
Hallelujah.
God can fill somebody with the Holy Ghost before you have the opening prayer. He's God all day long.
Thank you, God.
Before I woke my eyes up this morning, raised them, looked at the ceiling above my head, God was already God.
Yes.
Whatever he had for you and for me in this day, he had it before we woke up this morning. It's easy to get in the habit of going through certain things, and you know, it's okay. They're not bad in themselves, but we got to make sure that we don't put expectations on when God. How can you win a God that's always God?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You can't win a God, W-H-E-N. You can't win a God. You can't lock him into a time or a place or a moment when he's outside of eternity. He operates in time while he's outside of time.
Yeah.
Can't put that kind of a God on a schedule. Let him be God whenever he wants to be.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I seen one raised hand earlier today about the back, and I believe God has healed that back.
Amen.
Whenever God wants to move, let him move. He'll never do you anything but good.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't ever done me nothing but good.
That's right.
My old English teacher loved to hear that sentence. being October, and being, I don't know what they call it anymore. I tend to turn off the radio this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they call it Clergy Appreciation Month. Is that what they still call it? Well, in a whole lot of places, there's going to be big steak dinners, going to be banquets thrown for the ministry, going to be cards handed up, pulpit at the end of service, money in them, and all kinds of. And you know, hey, look, good, fine, but not here. Now, the reason not here is because I just assume you'd be nice to me all year long and you don't have to make up for it 1 month out of the year. I got a feeling the fattest checks in Clergy Appreciation Month come from the people that treat them the worst the other 11 months.
Come on.
That's right.
Yeah, buddy. Just be nice to me all year long and we can skip the whole thing. How's that? Yes, now, you know, the ministry deserves its honor when it's honorable.
Oh.
Hey, touch not my anointed. That ain't about the preacher.
Come on.
You better read that verse.
Bless him, Lord.
They've been mangling that one for a long time, and it's worked out pretty good for them because they got entire congregation scared to even say some of it's true. Better not touch the anointed. God will strike you dead. No, God will never strike you dead for telling the truth.
Right.
You don't honor anybody that's not honorable. It don't matter what their title is, what their office is, or how big the crowd is.
Amen.
You give honor. Scripture says give honor where honor is due.
Amen.
So, okay, all that stuff going on, that's fine. But not here. We're just going to be nice to each other all year long.
Amen.
Ain't nobody nice all the time. Those people make me nervous. They convict me. But they make me nervous, because when those people blow a gasket, it's bad. When the sweet ones get mad, it's time to run. So we all have our times and things we go through, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
But good grief, man. We ought to treat each other best we can all the time anyhow, shouldn't we?
That's right.
And that's one thing that I can say. I remember talking about this last year in October. And you know what? With the church family, man, I've had a great year. I haven't been cussed out one time. Nobody's hit me. Nobody's thrown anything at me but my wife, and I threw something first, so it was all good. I'm just playing. All right. I've had a good year. We just teach that we should be the best version of ourselves we can be all year long, right?
Amen.
But this is a good time of year to talk about, for me, the most important thing there is in my existence. And when it boils down to it, it really is in yours too. There are some things that I'm going to teach at least once a year. And I talked about this last year about this time. I think it was in September. But I thought it would be very appropriate, being that it was Clergy Appreciation Month, to teach on it again now, at the start of that month. Now, what I want to talk about today is the watchman. Now, there's two parts to that. Really, it's the watchman and me. And what we're going to do, we're going to dig through the scripture and we're going to let the Bible talk to us. Isn't that a novel idea? We're going to let the Word be the Word.
Amen.
It really doesn't need to be dressed up. It's pretty frank. It's pretty direct. And if we would stick to this in our churches, this world would be turned upside down already.
Yeah.
If we stuck to this in our churches, in our services, in our walk with God, in our day-to-day life, our world would be turned upside down already. Ezekiel 33, again the word of the Lord came unto me. It's, of course, it's Ezekiel talking. Son of man, speak to the children of your people. Now, notice he doesn't say, speak to my people. He says, speak to the children of your people, Ezekiel 33. And what he's doing right there is he's making the connection to Ezekiel right now that these are your people. You see, now, I've been in this thing for a little while now, about 3 decades. I've been in the ministry most of that time. And I've seen behind the curtain. There are a lot of places where the ministry doesn't go out to eat with anyone in the church. They don't go over to anybody's house. They won't hang out ever or anything. And the reason they won't do that, and this is what they say, is they'll get too familiar. Now, familiarity can be a problem. I mean, there are some people that if you're not dressed in a shirt and a tie and you don't have a Bible under your arm, they can't respect you as a minister of the gospel. There's some people like that, but there are very, very few people like that. I've learned over the years that your bond with people becomes stronger when you just be who you are.
Amen.
Whether you have the shirt and the tie on, or whether it's a work day, or like next Sunday, we're going to have service out of the shelter at Eastman, and we're going to have a potluck afterwards. Guess what? I'm not coming in a shirt and tie. I'm a sloppy eater. And I don't have that many nice clothes, I'm not getting spaghetti all over my vest. So when I come, I'm going to have a t-shirt on and some blue jeans. But I'm still going to be me. And I'm blessed to be around people who treat me like I'm me all the time. And what God was trying to do with Ezekiel here is let him know, hey, don't ever feel like that you're a different class. There are no classes in the church. It's not like society where you can step back and when the sociologists want to put people in categories, they'll say there's an upper class, there's a middle class, there's a lower class, and they put them into classes. They'll put them in classes in education or income or where they live or what part of the country they're in. They're always trying to classify people. Guess what? We got one classification. We're Jesus people.
Amen. Amen.
Period. All of us got jobs. In this kingdom. All of us have a purpose in this kingdom. And we need every single one of us. There isn't any one of us more important than anybody else. Some of us have jobs where there are more opportunities for our heads to be on the chopping block if we mess up than some other people. But we're all necessary. That's why Paul spent so much time in the New Testament talking about some people are the hand and some are the feet. And he told some of them, look, if you don't think you're much because you're the foot, and you think you're not of the body because you're not the hand, well, hey, you know, if any of you have ever had a twisted ankle or a broken foot, you know how important that foot is when that thing ain't working the way it's supposed to work. Right. All of a sudden, you realize that's a pretty important body part down there. Mm-hmm. Some body parts you don't think about until they ain't working like they should. That's a whole other lesson.
Mm.
But every body part's important. And God's trying to get that across to Ezekiel right off the bat. Speak to the children of your people. Never forget that you're one of them. You're not a higher class. Did you know the word minister means servant?
Yes, amen.
Whoa! The modern church is built like a pyramid. It's built like a pyramid. It's wide on the bottom, it's narrow up the top, and the pastor sits at the top of the pyramid. He's the one with a parking place by the door. Somebody carries his Bible. He's got the nice padded chair. Looks like a throne up on the platform. And he sits at the top of the pyramid. When in reality, the church is supposed to be an inverted pyramid upside down. The pastor, the minister, anybody that professes to have a call to share the word of God and help somebody wind up on the right side of eternity is supposed to be a servant.
Right.
Period. So he says, say to the children of your people, when I bring the sword upon a land, not if. Now these are God's people. And God's not saying, if I bring a sword upon my people. He says, when. Guess what? Sometimes a sword's coming. Sometimes we go through seasons that are tough. We heard Brother Dewey testify today. Cancer's in his rearview mirror, and he's still using his voice for God today.
Yes, amen.
Tough things come our way. And the modern Christian world would use tough things in the people's lives to say, must be sin in that camp. No, guess what? There's flesh on them bones and they still live in this world.
Yeah.
And hard things come good people's way sometimes. And God just said for Ezekiel that when he brings the sword upon the land. So there are sometimes God brings a sword. You look back over your life. You tell me when your prayer life was at its strongest. I know when mine is. When I got something going on, I need God's help with. Oh me, oh my, it's true anyhow. I have a regular prayer life, but boy, that prayer life is hot and heavy when I got sickness
Amen.
In my body.
Amen.
That prayer life's hot and heavy when my children got something going on in their house, do we?
Yeah.
So sometimes God brings a sword and it's the best thing that could happen. Ouch. God said, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their close and set him for their watchman. If they take somebody and set him for their watchman. Now that word, watchman right there, it comes from a Hebrew word, sophah. And it literally means someone that peers into the distance, someone that looks up, someone that awaits. Now, back in the day, they would build walls around all the cities. And they would build these walls really tall. And they would build them really wide. And they would even have houses up on these walls. Some of the people that worked on those walls lived on the walls. And their job when they were on duty was to stand on that wall and look out over the outside of the city. And what their job was to look and see if there was any danger coming. That if an enemy was going to come, if a sword was coming, an army was coming, the person up on the wall would see that army afar off and be able to warn everybody behind the wall way before they ever got here.
Amen.
Now the spiritual application, notice there is an if. Even though these people know there are times where God will bring a sword, they still have the choice on whether or not to set somebody for a watchman.
Amen.
We have a choice in our life whether we set somebody as a watchman in our life. Now look, in the home, that's you, Daddy.
Mm-hmm, come on.
That's you, Daddy.
Yes.
And the daddies have it a little bit different than the preacher does, because the daddy don't have to be voted in. Everybody can vote against Daddy being the watchman, but God has said the daddy is the spiritual head of the house.
Amen.
Now, there are some men that when they hear that, they're like, oh, that means I call all the shots, and they turn into Captain Caveman.
Right.
But you know, if they knew what that really meant to be the head of the house, they'd have a whole different attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it means when you're the spiritual head of the house, it means that if the house ain't right, it's your head that's going to roll.
Right. Yeah.
All of a sudden, that changes my whole perspective on being the head of the house. And the husband and the daddy don't get a vote. That's what we are by law.
Right.
But in our walk with God, we have an opportunity. We get to choose. See, just because God has called me to pastor, and I promise you, when we get into some of these more verses, you will see why. If God did not call me, I would not be doing this. Anyone that decides they want to be a pastor has no clue what it is.
Right.
They have never read this chapter in the Bible. Anybody just says, I want to grow and be a pastor. Well, let's do a Bible study first, okay? Because obviously you haven't done that Bible study. Because if you had and you realize that everybody you ever speak to, let this sink in. Everybody I ever open my mouth and talk to about God with, I will answer for what I said to them. I will answer for how I respond to their response, no matter how nasty their response might be.
Right.
That's not a fun job. But it is a necessary job in the kingdom of God. It is necessary to have somebody in our life. I've got more than one. I've got people in my life that I've gone to and I've said, look, I need you to do this for me. If you ever see me starting to walk a little bit sideways, I need you to come tell me and put me back in line. If you ever even think there might be something off in my walk with God, I want you to call me and see me and tell me about it. Because I need to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven.
Amen.
And when we are left to ourselves with no one else watching, no one else observing, no one else praying, no one else standing on the wall in our life, it's easy for us, for things we do to become normal to us.
Yeah.
Things, ways we behave, we can get to thinking that they're okay, they're right, because it's us, and we don't feel bad about it. But someone outside of us who prays for us and says, God, I love this person, I plead the blood of Jesus over them, somebody that fasts meals for us, when they see something in their behavior that might be a little off, they love us enough to come and say, look, man, I ain't trying to make you mad today, but you know we've talked about this, and you know that I pray for you and I fast for you, and there might not be anything to this, Jimmy, but I've been a little bit concerned about something, man.
Right.
You know, is there something going on? Are you good?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you today, and it don't have to be here. Look, I'm not trying to run around and get as many people as I can for me to be accountable for.
Right.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Have to answer for 50 more people. What's that? Come on now, I'm being serious. I'm being real. This is truth. This is reality. So when I'm talking to you about this today, I'm not telling you, you have to do this here. But I will tell you, you need somebody in your life that loves you more than they love your response to them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
You need somebody in your life that loves you enough to have a conversation with you, knowing that if they have that conversation with you, it's going to get uncomfortable and you might respond the wrong way, knowing that it might damage their relationship with you, but they love you enough to have it anyway because they can't forget you've got an eternal soul that's going to live forever somewhere.
Yeah.
And there's only two somewheres.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you do not have somebody in your life like that today, get one.
Yes,
because amen. God did not set up the kingdom of God for us not to have one. Right. Hear what I said? I said us.
Amen.
All of us need somebody to watch. And if they don't love you enough to have a difficult conversation with you when you know that they should, you pick the wrong one.
Yeah.
Don't pick one that don't fast regular. You hear me? Don't pick one of those guys that fast whenever cancer comes somewhere. Pick somebody that fasts at least once a week that has the authority in their walk with God all the time.
Yes.
To cast out any level of devil in your life.
Man.
You got to pick somebody that lives this thing. But you got to get somebody. I do, and I thank God for them. And I'm such a mess, I got more than one. But they still, if they take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, how could somebody, if they know that there are times when God brings his sword, why would it be if? Why would you build walls around your city knowing there's people out there that sooner or later are going to come with armies and try to kill everybody in your family and take everything from you and maybe even kill you? Why would you not put somebody up on the wall?
Right, amen.
Well, I don't know. I have to say this because some people don't like anybody to tell them anything.
It's true.
Even if they know it's right. And some people get madder when they know it's right. But how foolish is it to know there's a sword out there and that there are times God will let it come and not put somebody up there to watch out for it. Not somebody up there that you got to bring checks to and cards to every October for clergy. Right. Am I beating a dead horse here? I hope that horse dies. But somebody that will just get on the wall and watch for the enemy before it ever gets here. And God's telling him, if... when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns them. What do you mean if? Okay, we got you up on the wall, dude. Your whole job is to watch for the guy with the sword and tell us before he gets here. Why is there an if? Why is America filled with pulpits of pastors that won't talk about what's going on in society today? Pulpits are filled with men that won't talk about anything going on in our day-to-day life right now because they are afraid of the reaction they're going to get from out there and they're afraid of the reaction they're going to get from in here. It's not their job to talk about things based on what the reaction might be.
Right.
It's their job to blow the trumpet when they see a sword come.
Yes, amen.
That's where the if comes. Because not everybody's going to blow a trumpet when they see the enemy coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some people get upset when you talk about certain topics in the church. And they say, well, I don't think you ought to talk about that stuff in front. Now listen, we need to be smart with our language. But who do you want talking about the things going on in society to your children?
Right.
The church or their elementary teacher. You know, the one that's going to tell them they might be the opposite gender. Is that who you want? Talking to them about things going on in the world? Okay, well, my kids don't go to private public school. Well, good. But one day your kids are going to leave your home. And if they've not been educated with a godly perspective on the things that are going on in society, and because you don't want them to hear that stuff, guess what? They're going to leave your house one day, and they're going to go out into a world with plenty of people that are just waiting to indoctrinate them in whatever's going on that day. We need to learn inside the church what God thinks about what's going on in the world. Not what the preacher's personal opinion is, what the Bible's got to say about what's going on in our world. And if we don't prepare our children to succeed in that world, we have failed in our responsibility as parents.
Amen.
See, this is why a lot of preachers don't blow a trumpet too. It gets a little uncomfortable sometimes. What's the Bible say? Train up a child.
Yes.
Train. Not suggest.
Right.
Not say, Johnny, will you please? Not say, now, Johnny, okay, we'll try your way to skip that. You're going to do it this way with a hot butt, or you're going to do it this way easy? It's your choice, but you're going to do it this way.
That's right. Amen.
I remember when churches had a crying room. It wasn't the altar. It was a bathroom.
Yeah.
It's because Mama would pick up little Susie and drag her by the arm down that aisle and get a whooping back there, and all of a sudden Susie come out and decide, I think I'm going to behave.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm going to go viral. If he sees the sword come and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, what? I put him on the wall, told him, blow the trumpet if you see the sword. He blows the trumpet, and I just blow him off. I'm going to let that filter where it needs to go. Look, let me help you with something. Dude's up on a wall. Will you help me? Can you help me with something? You look really bashful, so I don't know if you will. Come here. Everybody say hi to Olive.
Hi.
Okay, now look, I'm going to be on a wall, okay? You ready? Now this is a wall, and I'm going to stand up on this great big old wall, and I'm going to look out there. Now you come over here. Can you stand right there? I see 7 cars in the parking lot. How many do you see? You see 0. How come? Because you're not on the wall. I love this kid.
Oh, yeah.
Let's give her a hand. I couldn't have scripted that better. I'm going to remember that when I preach it somewhere else. She said, I couldn't see any cars because what Jesus said, come unto him like a child.
Come on.
She can't see the cars because she's not on the wall.
Yes.
You know why people have such a hard time listening to people that are set on the wall? Now understand what this means. This means you go in any church anywhere you want to in the Bible Belt, and whoever the pastor is, that's the guy on the wall. That's what he'll tell you. Okay? And the reason people have such a hard time listening to men on the wall is because the men on the wall want to tell you we got to send another offering around today. We need a little bit more than we got. It's God's will. Men on the wall want to tell you this is what you need to be wearing at home. This is, you know, you need to have these sleeves, a no-colored shirt. You need to have your hair up, your hair down, nylons, no nylon. And it goes on and on and on and on. And people that have been burned by those men on the wall, we have a hard time listening to men on the wall after that. And it's just true. Now, hear this. You need to be wise and don't trust every man on the wall.
Amen.
But when you do encounter a man on the wall, and you know he's on the wall, and you know, I'm going to beat this thing to death. You know he fasts, you know he studies, you know he calls your family out by name every day. You know he's doing his best to do what this book would have him to do. When that dude blows a trumpet, your first response can't be, I just don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's trying to get a double offering, you need to see that. Say, go ahead on, preacher, I'm out of here. Okay? If he's trying to tell you what color clothes to wear, hair up, hair down, all that mess, you need to go on down the road somewhere else. But if he's blowing the trumpet about something, and hear this, when he blows the trumpet about something that you might not see, because like Olive said, you're not on the wall, you're going to feel the confirmation of the Spirit of God when he blows that trumpet.
Right.
You're going to feel it. God's going to confirm it. God's not going to leave him out there by himself. And God will show a man on the wall stuff that's out there before it gets here.
Yeah.
Because God don't want every sword coming in your house.
Right.
Everything that the world is reaping, you did not sow.
Right.
So God doesn't intend for you to reap what you did not sow. But if you don't have your house guarded, you will reap things you did not sow because you have no defense.
Man.
But God has provided us a defense. He's made the men the head of the house. That means God will give you a spirit of discernment. There'll be somebody who'll come around, or your kids will bring a new friend around, and everybody else loves them, but something in you is just a little sideways. And it ain't because they don't have manners, and they're not polite, and they don't have straight A's, or they don't look like the perfect kid, but something just rubs you the wrong way. That's the Spirit of God rubbing you the wrong way in your office as a high priest in your house. So God has given us a defense, and he's layered it. He's put Daddy as the head of that house. And oh, don't get me started on Mama Bear. It's too far away from Mother's Day. We'll hit that one again come May, okay? But God has put Daddy as the high priest of the home. And he will keep him on guard if he will take his role serious. And Daddy, you already know there's going to be times where the whole house is going to be upset with you. But you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
It's just like Olive said with the watchman. She can't see because she's not on the wall. There's going to be times where Mama don't feel what Daddy's feeling, but that don't mean what Daddy's feeling ain't right. Mama don't have to feel what Daddy's feeling all the time because Daddy is the high priest.
Right,
man.
Amen.
Come on.
But then God has layered it. So he's put the man as the high priest, and then God said, people of God, pick a watchman and set him. I love that verbiage. See, it don't matter what my title is. Everybody that ever walks through this door can call me pastor. We can have 500 people here eventually, and all of them can call me pastor. But I will not be pastor to all 500 people that call me pastor.
Right. True.
You find out who you pastor. You ready for this? This is deep. When you try to pastor them.
Right.
Not boss them. Not drive them. Not manipulate them. But pastor them. When you get a sense of something from the wall. When you're fasting for that family on a day. And you just get this sideways thing in your spirit. But God hasn't told you what it is. And sometimes God will do that. Because he wants to work something in the preacher. He wants to find out, preacher, do you have a backbone? Can I trust you with these people that are coming there? Because if you ain't got a backbone, I can't trust you. So sometimes God will put that sense in the watchman's soul, and the watchman will pray about it and pray about it. And if that sense don't leave, then the watchman's got to make a decision on if he's going to have the courage to come to that family and say, look, I don't know what's going on. I may be off my rocker. I may have had bad pizza every night last week. I don't know. But I just can't find rest in my spirit. Maybe you know what's going on. Can I help you? And that's when the decision is made from somebody, is this man the pastor of the church that I go to? Or have I sent him as a watchman? Now that watchman, that don't mean, whoa. Nobody's carrying my Bible, don't trust you. I've had 30 years, it's an antique. It literally will go to dust if I drop it wrong. Nobody's saving me the parking spot by the door. going to be no red carpet. I'm not having a throne for a chair. Right? That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about in my walk with God, I have got to set somebody as the watchman and let them know, you see anything, anything bothers you, please tell me.
Amen.
So every one of you here, whether it's here or somewhere else, you have to set a watchman.
Right.
Why would you want to live without it?
Amen.
If it's somebody that's doing this. Your mama loves you, but if your mama fasts for you once a week, you are really blessed. But you probably ain't got anybody that don't share your DNA in your life just asking, can I fast today every week for you? You probably ain't got people that ain't in your family that want to pray for you every single day. So if God brings you to somebody that will do those things, why wouldn't you? Do it. God takes me out of here tonight. Do it. If when he sees a sword come, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet takes not warning. If the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. That's fair and square, baby.
Mm-hmm.
If that dude's got enough guts to blow that trumpet anyway, knowing I might get mad or I might ignore him or I might leave and never come back, but he blows it anyway because he loves me. If I don't listen, that's on me. Now, I want to tell you something. That don't make me feel any better. The only part that makes me feel good about that is I won't have to answer for that blood. But it don't make me feel better any other kind of way, because I've encountered people over the past 30 years that you will tell them something and they will know you're telling them the truth and they won't listen anyway. And then you watch as their life just goes right off the rails like you guys talked about, and they wouldn't listen and do anything about it anyway. And that brings nobody no joy.
Right.
There is no, I told you so in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And the spirit that says it's on them, that ain't a God spirit.
Right.
Never bring somebody some joy that somebody that didn't listen, it blew up in their face like you told them it would. You got to pray back through, because you ain't right with God.
Come on. Yeah.
He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood's upon him. But he that takes warning, delivers his own soul. He that takes warning delivers his soul. I use this example every time I teach this. In the year 2008, it was Hurricane Ike. And Katie and I were somewhere, and we saw this on the news. You know those crazy weather reporters? One of those crazy weather reporters, Hurricane Ike is at its fullest. And they're at this house with this dad, and he's got three kids. And they're asking, the water's already covered the whole bottom of the house. And the reporters tell, water has filled the whole bottom level of the house. And somebody's standing in your house with you saying, come with me, we'll get out of here. You don't have to die. And your plan is that you can make sure your body's identified. This was a man that heard the trumpet, didn't go, and then gets a second chance and still doesn't go. This is a man this verse was written for. And you know what we think? We think, man, what kind of parent is that? What kind of parent watches society around them teach gender fluidity to 8-year-olds and doesn't say anything about it?
Amen.
But if the watchman sees the sword come and blows not the trumpet, what? Why wouldn't you blow the trumpet? Well, man, if I blow the trumpet and talk about that thing, that's going to make that family mad. And you know, they're the biggest tithers. Huh? I've heard these conversations behind the curtain. You hear me? If the watchman see the sword come and blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword comes and takes anybody, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. No, two very important things right there. There's a modern day idea in a lot of churches that, well, that's the pastor, it's on him. No, it's not just on him. Notice what that verse says. That verse says, if that preacher sees the sword comes, brother, and don't blow the trumpet, the ones that don't hear the trumpet, their blood is on their head too. They're going to die in their iniquity. That means they didn't even hear that danger was coming, but they're still accountable for it. That means if I know something is a sin and I don't preach it's a sin, you don't have the comfort of being able to say, well, Brother Arliss never preached that.
Amen.
I didn't know. God's going to say, they sell Bibles at the Dollar General for $2. God's going to say, instead of watching those stupid cat videos on YouTube, maybe you should have been listening to the Bible.
Come on.
Hello? Uh-huh. We don't check out with our responsibility just because the preacher didn't preach that.
Right.
If he don't blow the trumpet, I'm going to answer for it. And he is too. That's two for one. So if I know something is wrong and I won't preach about it because it might make somebody uncomfortable or upset with me for a while, so I don't preach about it, and that sin happens, you're going to be lost if you don't find out about it for your... Are you hearing me? You better be reading your own Bible too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We ain't ever going to put the Bible up on the thing. Know why? Because I ain't going to be able to keep track of it anyhow. I'll get lost. But because you need to bring your own Bible too.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that what I'm telling you is in this book.
Yeah.
A church full of people with no Bibles that watch everything on the wall is a church full of people that probably are going to spit hell wide open.
Yeah.
If the preacher don't blow the trumpet and you don't learn about it, you're still accountable for it. That's some scary stuff. That's why, in the day and age we live in, there are so few real watchmen. They're trying to make the Bible hate language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know we live in a country, now, you're going to have to let this sink in, because it's going to be hard for you to believe. We live in a country where it is illegal for clinical psychologists to have counseling sessions with LGBTQ children who want to go back to being what they know they should be. That is illegal. While at the same time, it is perfectly legal for minors to have body parts surgically removed so they can identify as something else. Are you hearing me today? Do you understand that means the LGBTQ XYZ people defended their children better than we did? It is illegal for me as a pastor if a minor gay person comes to talk to me and says, I want counseling. I don't want to be this way. I want counseling. I want help. If I meet with them, and hear me, I will. You're going to be bonding me out of jail someday. Mm-hmm. Because I will. My law is in this book.
Amen. Amen.
And when that law violates this book, I'm going to jail.
Amen. Yes.
It'll be the first mugshot I ever took with a grin on my face. And I've had plenty of mugshots back down or up.
Amen.
But if that minor comes to me wanting counseling because they don't want to be gay anymore and they know that they're not naturally gay, which they're not, there is no such thing.
Amen.
And they want me to help them, I will break the law and go to jail. But if that same, if one of your children goes to school and tells a teacher they're the opposite gender and they want therapy, it's legal for that teacher to recommend them to
to people that will give them hormones and even surgery. What that means is the LGBTQ people have had a louder voice in the public square than the people of God. It's true. But it's not going to be that way much longer.
Amen.
Because God is raising up people all across this country that are saying enough is enough.
Yes.
There's a right,
Amen.
There's a wrong. We're going to stand with God.
Yes.
It's not about hating anybody.
No.
I hate the devil.
Amen.
I hate what he does to families.
Amen.
But the day is over when the church is a church mouse. When the church went in the closet, everything else came out.
Right.
It's time the church come out of the closet
Amen.
And bind everything else back in the closet.
Amen.
And we're going to do it.
Yeah, we are.
We are going to do it. The only way we're going to do it, though, is we have to talk about things that make people uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's true.
The reason those laws are reversed today and the gay kids have rights that our kids don't is because for a long time we bought into the government idea that you don't discuss politics, you don't discuss government. When you do that, when God's voice is shut, that means they can do whatever they want, and the people of God are not being educated on what God thinks about what society is doing. It is the pulpit's job. It is the watchman's job to talk about what he sees, and that includes everything going on in this world. And we don't talk about it based on I'm in this party or I'm in that party. We talk about it based on this is what God has
Amen.
Got to say about
Amen.
This.
Yes.
Don't stay at a church where they won't discuss politics.
Bless him.
It's true.
Why? Because the politics are what makes the laws in the land. The politics are why your kid can go to school and get hormones to try to make them something they'll never be, and you may never even find out about it. It's because of politics. And it's because the church said, okay, government, we won't talk about politics. You know why they did that? So they could keep their tax exemption.
Yeah.
Well, if I talk about politics, they'll take my taxes. Pay your taxes at Walmart, dude.
Right. Yeah.
I've been reading red words where Jesus said, render unto Caesar. What? That which is Caesar. How is the church right with God? By taking a tax exemption anyhow. Answer me that.
Mm-hmm.
Riddle
Come on.
Me that. Yeah, I know. They're going to mug me. But it's true. Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And the government in America came to the church a couple generations ago and said, hey, if you'll stay out of the public square, if you won't discuss what we're doing in politics here, we'll give you a tax exemption. And the church was so greedy about the money and thinking it could save that money, it said, okay, I won't talk about nothing y'all do over there. I'll take my tax exemption. And that's why today our country is in the condition that it is in. But there is a generation of watchmen that's rising up all
Amen.
Across this country
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
There's a generation of men and women of God, saints of the living God, that are looking around at this stuff around them and saying, you know what? I may not have all the answers, but I know we ain't been doing something right for it to wind up like this. We got to do something different.
Right.
And the thing we got to do different is the watchmen on their part have got to get back up on the wall. You can't be on the wall when you're running around 7 days a week. Can't be on the wall when you're taking 3-week cruises in the Bahamas. You can't be on the wall when you go somewhere to preach your Bible and you're running around golfing all day Friday and going out eating all day Saturday and going out and seeing the sights on Sunday and then talk about preaching revival. And I know you ain't. You just getting a paycheck.
That's right. Come on. Right. That's the truth.
Watchmen have got to get back on the wall. And the wall is a lonely place.
Yeah.
The crowd ain't up on the wall. The crowd ain't going to be fasting all the time. The crowd ain't going to be praying for people that don't even ask them to. The crowd ain't going to be up on that wall. And I'm not even talking about the general public. I'm talking about the ministry.
Yeah.
Because you ask most ministers today, most of them don't have a regular fast day. You ain't no minister.
Yeah.
Barney Fife. You got one bullet's in your gun. You can't even get that when you see a devil. It's true. It's true, man. You know who I want in my life? I want somebody in my life that if I got a devil that somehow got in my house, do we? And I don't know how I got in there, but we'll deal with that later. Right now, I just need him out of here. I want to be able to pick the phone up and call somebody that I know.
Right.
The bullet ain't in their pocket.
That's right.
It's in the gun.
Yeah.
So we need two things. We need to watch when you get back up on the wall. And stay there. Man, almost everybody stays on the wall when the crowd's small. Then the crowd gets big. It's easy to come down off the wall and feel like you got it made. Now, you ain't got it made, preacher. You ain't in heaven yet.
Man, that's right.
You see any pearly gates around here? I don't. Looks like a wood floor to me. I don't see no gold down there. So the watchman's got to get back up on the wall. The people of God got to quit staying somewhere where they ain't.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
I saw this YouTube prophetess. 200 shares in 2 hours. She got 25,000 followers. And she just got a revelation. God took her to heaven, and there's Christmas land in heaven. She got one of the biggest shows on TBN, you know, Total Bull Network. How can those people thrive? They can't if people won't stay there.
Come on.
Don't stay there. Don't stay there. These false prophets predicted Trump in 2020.
Yep.
Man, don't be watching no more of their preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going to watch a false, hear that? False? Prophet. You know how many false prophets? I know those of you here all the time, you've heard this 12 times. You can probably say it. I could have Jimmy tag in right now. You know how many prophecies it takes for a prophet to be a false prophet? Well, yes. I had one sent to me on Messenger, and I didn't even read it. I said, I'm not watching that Christmas, dude. So I'm not watching him. They said, why not? I said, because he said Trump in 2020. And they said, well, he really did win. I said, oh, God didn't know that part.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
God told him half a prophecy? I'm confused. Well, he means well. So what? There's going to be a lot of well-meaning people in hell.
Hell, yeah.
So the watchman's got to get on the wall. We got to quit supporting people that ain't watchmen. And then the other thing is, when the trumpet sounds, we need to listen. Now look, always base what the trumpet's saying by that book.
Yeah.
Right.
But you cannot base whether or not you believe what the trumpet is playing based on what you see.
Right.
If you're not on the wall.
Right. Amen.
See, you got a book to verify that trumpet ain't ever going to play a tune that ain't in that book.
Mm-hmm.
That trumpet ain't ever going to play a tune that's out of key with that book.
Amen.
So you'll be able to find something in that book that lines up with what that trumpet is saying is coming on the other side of that wall and what you need to do in response to it. But you may never understand logically what that trumpet's saying.
Yeah.
I stood in the pulpit the first Sunday after 9-1-1. You want to talk about a packed house?
Yeah.
Standing room only in Harvard, Illinois, baby. You know what I preached? Probably guess. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Man, they were all mad. Altar was done. I said, you're dismissed in Jesus' name. And a brother came chucking from the back wall, right down the pulpit. I can't believe you just preached that today. I ain't lying. This is your perfect chance to unite everybody. I'm thinking, I did. We didn't have a campfire and we didn't sing Kumbaya, but I did. That was 2001. It is 2022, and the storm that used to be out over the ocean is in our city streets.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Now the question is, what are we going to do?
Right.
See, because it ain't my daddy's church no more.
Right.
Been in this thing 30 years now.
I'm done talking about what I inherited. It's time to start talking about what are we going to leave for an inheritance. Because the church we leave to this generation is going to be ours. And then when we hand it to them, it's theirs. What are we going to give them? We're going to give them a church mouse that won't talk about nothing going on in the world it lives in, so another generation of kids grow up totally ignorant about right and wrong out in the world? Do you know we lose 90% of our young people once they turn 18? That means the devil, God gets a tithe and the devil gets 90% of our kids. So you go through the room and pick which one you want to keep and the other ones you're going to throw away. We're going to keep them all.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
All right, I got to close.
Bless him.
I'm trying. What time is it? Oh! All right, somebody said it don't matter.
It don't matter.
That's right. Amen.
The watchman sees the sword come and blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned. If the sword comes, it takes anybody. He's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, son of man, I have set thee. I have set thee. I have set thee. See, a watchman's going to do his job, even if he looks around and everybody's gone.
Right.
Watchman's going to do his job if he's got to start in a garage. If he's got to start in a living room. He's got to start in a yard or driveway. You know why? Because God set that person.
Right.
When God tells you what to do, you better do it.
Right.
And it's fine. People have votes on the pastor and all that's good. I'm glad the pastor's got great preaching skills, man. That's cool. I like them pastors that can preach great and play a tune and sing the glory. I like all that too, man. That's cool. But I prefer one that I know God has put there. He told Ezekiel, I have set you. I have set you watchmen into the house of Israel. Therefore, because of this, you will. Man, if you go to church somewhere for 6 months and the man, the watchman, ain't ever got a word for you, get out of there. Because you ain't got a watchman. There's no way you can go to church Sunday after Sunday and Bible study after Bible study for months on end and never have anything that preacher says go.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Uh-huh. No way. Not if that man's praying for you.
Right.
Not if that man's fasting for you. Not if that man's up on the lonely wall for you. Because that dude will get up there and preach something sometime and he'll feel like it's a lead balloon. Well, splat, splat. Not knowing that the whole time God is taking the words out of his mouth and just going, shuff, shuff, shuff. And somebody's sitting there going, God does know where I am. God does see me. God does really love me.
Amen.
This says that when God sets a watchman somewhere, he will hear from God.
Yes.
Will. Not might. Good grief, man. You preach the Bible long enough, you're going to preach something that gets on somebody's toes.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopee-doo. Blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
Yeah.
I've set thee watchman, and because of that, you will hear the word at my mouth all and tell them how awesome they're always doing. I like those. I do. Those are fun. I don't get them often, but I like them when I get them. This says you'll hear the word at my mouth and warn them. Don't go to church anywhere. Look, if all they're doing is warning you not to let your kids play the neighborhood kids, that's a wrong church anyway.
Yeah.
How in the world are we going to win the loss if we go somewhere where they tell us not to have anything to do with anybody that's lost?
Right.
Right.
You so scared that the people you're pastoring can't keep their religion? You don't even want them to have friends that go to church? You ain't doing nothing for them anyway. It ain't supposed to be about religion. You're supposed to be helping them have a better relationship with God Almighty. One that's so good that they're not willing to sacrifice it for any kind of friendship.
Amen.
You hear the word of my mouth and warn them. Don't go anywhere where you're never warned. When I say unto the wicked, you will surely die if you won't speak to them and warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Ouch! That sounds like a fun job. That's what I want to do. Have God tell me, tell all these sinners you're sinners and need to repent. That's fun. Nevertheless, if you do warn the wicked of his way to turn, what's the word repent mean?
Turn.
A church that don't preach repentance ain't a church.
That's right.
I know. This is why I don't go to all the cool clubs right here. This is it. I'm aware. Repentance is the first part of the message. The forerunner, John the Baptist, came. What was his whole message? Repent! God poured out the Holy Ghost and the birthday of the church in the book of Acts chapter 2. What was the first part of the message? Repent! He said, if you tell them repent, and they don't turn, he'll die in his sin, but you've delivered your soul. Therefore, Son of Man, speak unto the house of Israel. And he tells them what to say. And here's where I'm going to quit. He even tells Ezekiel what to say unto the house of Israel. These are the people of God. These ain't the wicked. These ain't the sinners now. Thus speak to the house of Israel and say this. Church, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us and we pine away in them, how should we then live? See, it's not like we're people that are actively going out and doing awful, wicked, evil things. No. But we are people that are in a walk with God. Paul said, I die how often?
Daily.
Which means that once I get the hang of where I am now in God, God's going to let me walk there for a little while. And I'm going to get my legs under me real good. And it's going to become a part of me to where now I don't have to put as much effort into it anymore because I've acquired all that to me. But then once I've got that and God knows it, he's going to do this. He's going to say, come up a little closer. Come a little closer. And every time God draws us a little closer, we have to leave a little more of us behind. So see, there comes a time in our walk with God where it ain't about quit doing all that nasty stuff. No. There comes a time where it's about, hey, God's drawing us a little closer. So in order to draw a little closer, we got to find a part of us to leave behind. Because everything I am today can't get that close to God for very long. That's why there's some worship services that feel a little more intimate than others. It ain't that the musicians got it going on more on that day than any other day. It's just on that day, I was able to bring all of me as I am right now that close to God. But I couldn't stay there that long because all of me that I am now can't stay that close all the time. But if I want to get that close all the time and have that be my normal with God, then I've got to figure out what part of me God wants me to leave behind so I can get that close and stay there. Uh-huh. And that's where the church right here is saying, if we stay like we are and pine in them, how shall we live? Well, stand with me, please. Most awesome things, one of the hardest things to keep in mind in the church, as when the preaching's going on, it ain't just to the people that are there. Yeah. There are spirits.
Come on.
Yeah.
And you parents that walked in here with your children today, you and your God are the only things keeping them things off of your kids, and you already know that. You are aware of that. So there are some things that are preached in the pulpit that aren't just preached just to people in the hearing of that preaching, but are preached to the spirits. That's why we will talk about things that nobody here is involved in. Things that we'd rather not discuss because it's uncomfortable and it's nasty. It is, man. It's just nasty. But we have to do our job.
Right.
We have to fight for our children, for your families, and for this country.
Right.
Because it ain't what somebody else left anymore, you guys.
Mm-mm.
We ain't a bunch of 20-year-olds in here.
Right.
It's ours now. And we get to determine what's here for our kids.
Come on.
And I'm just going to tell you, I'm thankful for the message that I ran into that changed my whole world.
Amen.
But I'm not leaving what I found. I'm going to leave the parts of it that were awesome and that were real.
Right.
I'm leaving those parts. But I'm going to do the best I can for the rest of my life. Just keep adding good things. Adding good things. That way when my day is done here, my days as a watchman are over. And little Olive, she's taller and she can see over the wall now all by herself. And my day is done and I'm getting ready to walk on those streets of gold for real.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I want to be, have my arms like this. I said, Olive, you got a wheelbarrow. And I got some awesome stuff for you.
Yeah.
So I'd like us to pray today. What I would like us to pray about. This is a scary prayer. It's something God does already, but I don't think we verbalize it enough. God, hold me accountable for the church. Because you already are. I already am. So Lord, whatever I see on the other side of the wall, I'm going to tell somebody on this side. So Lord, let my ears be open to the trumpet. And if what that trumpet's singing, what that trumpet's playing lines up with this book, then let me do whatever I got to do to obey that trumpet. Whether it makes sense to me or not, if it's in the book, let me do it. And how about this? Lord, wake up the watchman.
Yeah.
Wake him up. The watchman has got to wake up and get a backbone. The problem today is they either ain't got any backbone at all or they've got too much and they're just mean and nasty.
Yeah.
Calling Democrats demons ain't going to win anybody.
No.
Jesus died for the Democrats too.
Yes. Come on. Right.
Amen.
So if I'm the watchman and I'm saying all y'all Democrats going to hell anyway, that's not a watchman.
Yes.
So we're going to pray two parts. Lord, help me to be accountable. Because it's my church. Let's pray that first, can we? Lord, I thank you, Father, that you've called every one of us by name. Lord, you said yourself that no man can come to the Father except by you. Nobody can come to this thing unless you draw them. That means every one of us have been called by name, Lord. We didn't just stumble on this thing. You chose us, God. And I thank you for it, Lord. But today, God, it's our turn. It ain't any longer my granddaddy's church. It ain't any longer the church that I inherited, Father. But Lord, now it's mine.
Yes.
It's ours. So Lord, help us to be true to the church you died for. Help us to reflect the church you died to build, Lord. Help us, God, to take our accountability serious. Help us today, Father, Lord, to heed the sound of the trumpet, God.
that if we can find that sound in the book, then we will do whatever we got to do to apply it, God, to heed its warning, Father. Help us today. Help us to pass on a church to our children that's a great and a glorious church, a church without spot or wrinkle, God. Help us to do that, Father. And then today, Lord, we pray for the watchmen. Lord, help us to be accountable. But Father, we ask you today in Jesus' name to raise up watchmen across this country and all around this world. Not men that want a vocation, men that are called by God. Men that you have spoken to, that you have set to be watchmen. Men that you will speak from your mouth to their ear. Men with courage, God. Men that will speak a word. And Lord, won't be intimidated by how it will be received or by the response, but will speak that word knowing that those are words of life and death, Father. Raise them up today, God. Raise watchmen up again that will put the plate away and fast for somebody. Raise up watchmen that'll get up in the middle of the night and walk the hallways and call the names of the men and the women and the children in the congregation. Father, raise them up today. Raise up watchmen with courage that won't just watch what's going on in society and keep their mouth shut because they want a tax exemption, God, but raise up watchmen that will give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God what is God's and the people of God what they need, Father, and that is a watchman, Lord. Raise them up, God, but Father, rebuke the spirit of meanness.
Yes.
Rebuke that evil, mean spirit, Father. It's not your will that any should perish. You would leave the entire 99 to go find that one that wandered away on their own. So, Lord, when we're a part of the 99, help us to not be mean to that one, no matter how deceived, no matter how evil, no matter how lost in sin they are, Father. But raise up watchmen that will tell the truth, God, without fear or favor, but do it with love, that will lead by example, God, that won't be swayed by money or by popularity or by a famous name, but will relay the words of life that you give them and never forget that they are your people. They're not the preacher's people. They're the people of God, Father. Raise up watchmen today, God. Our country needs watchmen. Raise up the church, Lord, that would lift its voice and speak truth with love, God. Oh, Mare Kere Toro Potisha. Nore Kano Rati Bane Shenere. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over the young people here today, over the children here today. We ask you, Lord, to guide them and guard them, Father. We ask you, Lord, to give their parents wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Give them discernment, Father, to know the spirits, God. The courage to try them and to be honest about what they find. Strengthen the heads around the children today, God. Bless these families, Father, this week, Lord, through their week, God. Go before them. Be their pillar of fire by night. Be the cloud of smoke by day, God. Bless your people this week. Every way you've got to bless somebody. And everybody said in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
All right, God bless you. Remember, I'll let you know tomorrow about the potluck and the service out at Eastman Shelters. If there's somebody here you ain't met yet, change that before you go. God bless you. Have an awesome week.